ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 130 of the report, and we rocking out to some T.I. right now, man. I'm talking to you.
All I gotta do is go buy a nigga charged, and he only coming to off. He ain't gonna wanna rob. You fucked up, started shit with some real shit started. I'm trying to run from it now. What you thought, bro? I'm talking to you.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. Welcome to episode 130 of the Span Report. I am your host, Mr. Span. Good to be back with you guys again this week. Today's episode is a day late, but it ain't not happening. Right? It's like it's not like not happening. I had to take a little time, man, to kind of get shit together in order to bring you guys this episode. But we here, man. We here. We got a lot of shit to talk about this week. Let me stop lying. We don't have a lot of shit to talk about. This is probably going to be a pretty short show compared to how long my other shows typically are. But yeah, man, we're going to get into some shit. We're going to get right into it. I'm not going to fuck around with some of the random thoughts and all of that. Nah, man, I'm going to get right into the shit that I got to say. This is a lot of stuff I got to say, man. There's a lot of shit going on. It's a lot of dumb shit going on, and I kind of want to speak to it. But before I do, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spanner Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play those messages here on the show and respond in kind. You can also hit me up at feedback@thespanreport.com. That is the email address. Hit me up there and leave me those emails, man. I will read those emails here live on the show as well, and I can respond to those emails here as well. Also, Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. Underscore Span. So, man, go ahead. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, man. I will chop it up with you throughout the week, man. We can talk about whatever it is you want to talk about throughout the week, man. Real talk. So go ahead and follow me there on Twitter and Instagram, man. And also, like the Mr. Span fan page so you can catch these shows live, man. So you can be notified when these shows go live. You can catch the show as we do this here at the Span Report Podcast, man. So go to the Mr. Span fan page and like the Mr. Span fan page, and you can catch these shows live as we do them. And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com, and you can catch the podcast there. You can watch the podcast there. You can check out some of the videos that I use while I'm doing the podcast, man. Everything is available there. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments. All of that stuff. Go to www.thespanreport.com, and you can have that experience there. Also, before I get out of here with that, also, you can also go and you can get your Span Report swag, man. Go to www.teespring.com/official-span-report, and you can get your official Span Report hoodie, long sleeve tee or short sleeve tee, man. Go ahead and support the movement that we got going on here. Quite a few people have already purchased theirs. I've gotten mine. Go ahead, man, and get yourself some Span Report swag, man. Show the people that you rocking with the Span Report, man, and you want to let people know that you rocking with us here at the Span Report. So go ahead, man. Go ahead and get yourself your official Span Report podcast apparel, man. Real talk. The t-shirts are $18. Long sleeve tees are like $20. And I think the hoodies are like $25, man. So reasonably priced. And they look good, man. Real talk. If I may say so myself, you know? So, yeah, man, those are going on, man. Go ahead and get your official Span Report podcast apparel, man. They're available at teespring.com/official-span-report, man. Real talk. But, yes, indeed, man, it is October 16th. It is less than a month away from where we vote for president and all of that other stuff, man. Real talk. And I can't wait for a lot of this shit to end because I am so sick and tired of finding out that some of the people that I used to have respect for are some dumb motherfuckers. Real talk, man. I'm starting to see it all over social media, man. All over, like, you have conversations with folks, you be like, God damn, I never knew you were this dumb. I never knew you were this dumb, right? So yeah, man, it's a lot of that shit going on. But before we really get into what's really going on, man, I have to. We lost a friend this week. Your man Span lost someone who was really close to him, was with him every day for the last 2 months, man. And they, like, I formed a bond. Like, we formed a bond. Like, this person, this thing knew everything about me. This thing helped me do so many things. It helped me move along in my life. This thing helped me do my finances, man. This thing helped me, like, stay more informed. This thing helped me. It helped me in so many different ways, man. It's unfathomable. I hate to see it go. I hate to see it go. And so what we're going to do is, man, we're going to pay respects. We're going to pay respects to the Galaxy Note 7, man. We got to do it. It's only right that we pay respects to the Galaxy Note 7, man. And so in true Span Report fashion, we got to send it off in the right way. We do, man. It's only right that we send this Galaxy Note 7 off in the right way, man. Because this was such a thing for you, for me, man. I fought hard on the defense of the Note 7. All your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. For everybody that's missing that S Pen, man. for everybody who's missing. You're missing the ability to make gifs out of anything. You're missing the IP68 certified waterproofing and dust resistance, man. The quad HD display. The ability to write on just about anything on your fucking screen, man. The iris scanner. The SD card reader up to 256 gigabytes, man. There has never been a more feature-packed phone than the Galaxy Note 7, man. Never been. There's nothing that any phone right now can do that could really compete with the Galaxy Note 7. Nothing that the iPhone 7 can do. Nothing that the Galaxy S7 Edge can do. Nothing that the Note 5 can do that could really compete with the Galaxy Note 7. And we lost it today. We lost it. Phone has been recalled 2 times in 2 months. It's wreaked havoc on my cell phone bill. $825 in charges just this month for the recalls, man. I wanted to keep it. But 23 fucking phones caught fire. 23 caught fire out of 1.5 million phones in usage. And yeah, I could talk about how many times the iPhone has caught in fucking fire and actually injured people and nobody pays attention to it. Nobody cares, man. You can't even take a Galaxy Note 7 on a plane with you. It's fucking illegal to do it. So sad, man. So sad. Carriers wouldn't sell a phone anymore. Samsung wouldn't give you any software updates to the phone anymore. It made no sense to keep the phone as much as I really wanted to keep the goddamn phone, man. So shout out to the Note 7, man. It was in the time that you were with us, you were special. You were special. And I hate to see you go. Rest in peace, Galaxy Note 7. Greatest fucking smartphone we've ever had. And to all of y'all who had made jokes and shit about the Galaxy Note 7, especially you spiteful fucking iPhone owners, fuck you. Fuck you, man. It's the greatest shit ever, man. A lot of you iPhone owners are going to be coming to us 2 years from now talking about shit you got on your phones that we already had on the now defunct Galaxy Note 7. So, Yeah. That fucking blows, man. I had to give up my Galaxy Note 7, man. Real talk. I'm dealing with some shit, man. Real talk. Like, giving up my Galaxy Note 7 was like turning, like, it's almost like if you had like a pair of J's, right? Like if you had a pair of Jordan 11s and you had to turn them bitches back in for a pair of Steph Curry whites, man. Like, real talk. Like, daddy Steph Curry's, you'd have been upset. That's how I felt about having to turn in my Galaxy Note 7, man. It was not a good day. It straight up was not a good day when I went into the T-Mobile store and had to turn that damn phone in. When I seen that they were like, yo, it is illegal for you to have this phone on a plane. You can't even bring it on a plane anymore. They're not going to give it any Galaxy support or nothing, like no Android updates or nothing. Like, all right, man, I got to turn this bitch in. As much as I don't want to, got to turn it in, man. So shout out to everybody who got them Galaxy Note 7s, man. I know you want to keep it. I done talked to quite a few of y'all. I know y'all want to keep it. I know you do. But they going to make it so hard for you to justify keeping that phone. Now, the fucked up thing about it is I've had 2 of them. Neither one of them motherfuckers blew up on me, right? 23 out of 1.5 million phones. Like, statistically, the chances of your phone blowing up was pretty fucking minuscule. But, yeah, man, they recalled the phone. It's no longer safe for you to have it. it's no longer really feasible for you to keep it. I know a lot of y'all are pretty much saying like y'all gonna risk it, but at the end of the day, man, like even with like say for instance, if some shit happens like on an insurance tip, right? If something happens to your phone, the screen breaks or something like that, you're not gonna get another Galaxy Note 7, man. They're gonna send you something else. They're like, nah, dog, you should have sent that shit in. So what I did was I got myself a Galaxy S7 Edge. This is what I got. And I'm going to have to rock with this until something better comes along. Yeah. So that happened. Right? Yeah, man. So, yeah, like I said, man, this is going to be a pretty short show, man. I haven't really had the opportunity to pay attention to as much shit as I really want to because of the way I've been working the last couple weeks, man. And I do know that I want to talk about what's going on with Donald Trump. And I do know I want to talk about what's been going on with Nate Parker in the movie Birth of a Nation, right? Now, the funny thing that's been going on with Donald Trump. Now, of course you guys know, man, Donald Trump is pretty much like a scatterbrain kind of dude. Like, it's amazing that he's gotten this far when it comes to running for president. It's scary how far he's gotten when it comes to running for president of the United States, man. And I gotta say, it's been eye-opening to see, you know, where people, you know, how people justify certain shit, right? So Donald Trump, you know, he had a tape come out last week. We talked about this on the show last week where Donald Trump had a videotape come out. He had a hot mic situation where he was talking about sexually assaulting the women around him, right? Like, yo, if you're a star, man, you can grab him by the pussy. You know, I just start kissing him. Like, I just go in. Like, I don't care, dog. Like, I am who I am. They let me do this shit. Fuck it, you know? And so he's had that come out, and we watched so many of his surrogates and whatnot come out, and they were talking about how, you know, they were basically trying to justify a lot of the shit that Donald Trump had done, right? They started talking about Bill Clinton, and they started bringing up some of the old cases that were going on with Bill Clinton. I remember Jennifer Flowers was a big thing back in the day, and there were other people who had come forward to say that Bill Clinton had sexually assaulted them, that Bill Clinton had done some really fucked up things to them, that he had been ungentlemanly to them, especially in a way where basically he had some unwanted sexual advances, right? Unwanted sexual advances. This is what they tried, you know, Donald Trump tried to put out, right? Now, for those of us who lived through that time, we remember these stories. We saw these stories kind of play out and everything else. And it was kind of odd that, like, even despite all of these things that happened, by the time that Bill Clinton was, like, leaving his presidency, he was still one of the more popular presidents in history. Like, he left with, like, I think a 60% approval rating by the time he left, right? Which Al Gore should have probably taken major advantage of. But because of all those things that were happening with Bill Clinton, Al Gore didn't necessarily want to, you know, he didn't want to ingratiate himself to the Clinton support system, pretty much. Like, he was like, yo, man, you got all this shit going on. I don't want no parts of that. I want to distance myself from that. And although he won the popular vote, we fucked around and we didn't get Al Gore for president, right? How you doing, CJ? What's up, homie? So, yeah, we had that going on, right? So, Donald Trump was like, yo, y'all want to talk about this shit that I said on this bus? How about all this stuff that Bill Clinton was doing back in the day? You know, y'all want to bring up my old shit. What about all this old shit that Bill Clinton was doing, right? Which is odd because Bill Clinton isn't fucking running for president. Hillary Clinton is running for president. And the funny thing about it is that it's weird to see so many people try to hold Hillary Clinton accountable for the shit that her husband did, right? We're holding Hillary Clinton accountable for the shit that her husband did, not the things that Hillary Clinton herself was responsible for. So Donald Trump brings on these four women who say that they, you know, who had these interactions with Bill Clinton, and he brings them to the debate, and, you know, he's asked directly, yo, you were on tape talking about sexually assaulting women, bro. Like, did you really do that shit, or was you just talking? And he said, no, I didn't do that. I was just talking shit. I didn't really do that. I was just kind of talking shit, right? And then people start coming out of the woodworks like, nah, Donald Trump really did do some shit to me. Like, real talk, as much as he would like to say that these were things he just said he would do, these were things that he actually did, because that was the difference that the Donald Trump campaign and the surrogates were trying to make. Like, well, Donald Trump says these things, but these are the things that Bill Clinton is actually guilty of, right? So what ended up happening is these women start coming forward and they was like, yo, Donald Trump did this to me in an office. Donald Trump did this to me in an airplane. Donald Trump did all of these things to me. And so, you know what fucking happened? You know what really started to happen? All of these people started using some of the exact same talking points that we were hearing with the whole Bill Cosby thing, right? Why did these women wait so long to say anything? Why did these women, you know, not say anything right when it happened? Why did they wait till Donald Trump was on the precipice of becoming the president of the United States to say that Donald Trump touched me inappropriately? And we heard the same shit with Bill Cosby, right? Remember the narrative around Bill Cosby was about to buy NBC, dog. That's why these women coming out. Bill Cosby got this new sitcom coming out. That's why these women coming out. Bill Cosby got this comedy special coming out. That's why all these women coming out. The same shit. And it's coming from, like, the funny thing about it is, it's coming from people who wouldn't necessarily fuck with Trump, right? The people who wouldn't necessarily fuck with Trump, but because Bill Cosby is black, like, yo, man, you know, the white man, they throwing salt in the game, man. They trying to fuck up this brother from doing some real special shit, man. He trying to buy networks. He trying to get this comedy special going on, man. He trying to get the shit right. And now we got these white women coming forward and saying that Bill Cosby did this bullshit to him. And then you look at Donald Trump and you be like, well, the same shit. Donald Trump is on the precipice and supposedly doing something great. And all of a sudden, these women coming out of the woodworks and all, like, the same fucking talking points that you niggas was using for Bill Cosby, them same people that y'all don't fuck with, using that same talking point to prop up Donald Trump. The same fucking talking point. Right? You don't believe me? You don't believe me? Check this out, man. Because, you know, I've been talking about this for quite some time. I've been talking about this particular subject for damn near a year and a half. The same sort of thing. So check this out. Here's one article. This one came out from the ABC News, and they did a story about the women that were coming forward against Donald Trump. Hold on, let me pull this up for you guys so you guys can check this out for yourselves. Let me do this here. Just a second. I got a lot of shit going on over here. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. Pull this up, and you guys can check this out.
We begin tonight with the list of women who have now come forward accusing Donald Trump of inappropriate conduct. The detailed claims right here. And they come after that video, Donald Trump on that bus describing what he's able to do to women, kissing them, grabbing them, because of his fame. It was during Sunday's debate he was pressed, asked if those were just words or if he had actually done that to women. When pressed, he said he never did it. Tonight, some believe it was that moment in the debate that drove some of these women to come forward. But tonight, Donald Trump blames the media, the Clinton campaign, saying they're driving this. ABC's David Wright leads us off.
Tonight, a growing list of women are accusing Donald Trump of inappropriate conduct, including sexual assault. They insist his boasts on the bus to Billy Bush were much more than just locker room talk.
I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
Asked point blank about those statements.
Are you saying that what you said on that bus 11 years ago, that you did not actually kiss women without consent or grope women without consent?
I have great respect for women. Nobody has more respect for women than I do.
Have you ever done those things?
Women have respect for me. And I will tell you, no, I have not.
An unequivocal no. But even some Trump supporters feared that denial would open the floodgates for women to come forward.
He was like an octopus. It was like he had six arms. He was all over the place.
Today, the New York Times published the stories of two women. One of them, Jessica Leeds, says Trump assaulted her more than 30 years ago on an airplane after she was upgraded to first class on a business trip.
I sat down next to a young man, blonde, tall, and he introduced himself as Donald Trump.
And in the middle of the flight...
Somehow or another, the armrest in the seat disappeared, and it was a real shock when all of a sudden his hands were all over me. If he had stuck with the upper part of the body, I might not have gotten that upset. But it's when he started putting his hand up my skirt, and that was it. That was it. I was out of there.
Leeds is now a supporter of Hillary Clinton.
These claims are all fabricated. They're pure fiction and they're outright lies. These events never, ever happened.
Today, Trump threatened to sue the Times for libel, demanding the paper retract the story and publish an apology. The Times declined in a letter to Trump's lawyers, insisting the women spoke out on an issue of national importance. It would have been a disservice, not just to our readers, but to democracy itself, to silence their voices. And there were other voices, too, today. Among them, Natasha Stoyanov, a reporter for People magazine, who traveled to Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in 2006 to profile the billionaire and his wife, Melania, who was pregnant. Stoyanov says while Melania was out of the room, Trump shut the door behind us. Within seconds, he was pushing me against the wall and forcing his tongue down my throat. I was grateful when Trump's longtime butler burst into the room a minute later as I tried to unpin myself. She says that as they waited for Melania to return, Trump leaned in and told her, "You know we're going to have an affair, don't you?" Today, Trump denies that ever happened, asking why Stoyanov would have left such explosive details out of her People magazine story. And then he seemed to attack her appearance.
Take a look. You take a look. Look at her. Look at her words. You tell me what you think. I don't think so. I don't think so.
David Wright joined us live from Trump Tower tonight. And David, I want to clarify for our viewers tonight, none of these women filed any kind of criminal complaints against Donald Trump?
They did not, David, and they say to a person that they felt powerless to challenge him on this. The People magazine reporter, though, says she did tell her editor and asked never again to be assigned to the Trump beat. David?
All right. Now, you know what's interesting about that? There was a portion of that story where they talked about Donald Trump and his attitude about whether or not these people were someone he was attracted to, right? We heard this before. We heard this before. Wasn't Damon Wayans earlier this year talking about the looks of the women who Bill Cosby was accused of sexually assaulting and whether or not they were unrapeable? Check this out.
I don't believe that he was raping. I think he was in relationships with all of them.
You listen to them talk, they go, well, the first time, how many times did it happen? Yeah. Just listen to what they're saying. And some of them really is unrapeable. When you look, I look at them and go, no,
what?
You don't want that. Get out of here.
But I...
Go on, get you. Get up, get out of here.
These are the same fucking defenses that were used around the Bill Cosby shit, right? So we have to understand something, man. We have to understand something. There's one thing where there's a common thread with a lot of dudes when it comes to powerful people being accused of sexual assault and everything else. A lot of them tend to dismiss the allegations of these women simply because these women, because bitches be lying, right? Because, man, I remember my boy, he was with a chick and whatnot, and he was accused of, like, taking it, and I was in there with him, and I was in the room with him, and, like, she really did want it, dog. Like, she even grabbed my dick, you know what I'm saying? She even grabbed my dick, and she wanted me to go ahead and get in there, and we're hearing a lot of that. We're hearing that with the Derrick Rose case right now. Right now, Derrick Rose is fighting a sexual assault case where him and a couple of other friends are talking about, well, they were with this woman and she was all down for it and everything else. And now all of a sudden, like, well, yeah, Derrick Rose has actually come out and said, well, she consented every other time. Why wouldn't she consent to this time? As if, like, the actual act of getting consent is something foreign to a lot of these niggas. Right? But it's interesting to watch this play out, because what I want you guys to really understand is that you're going to see on your timelines, you're going to see it on Facebook, you're going to see it on Twitter, you're going to see a lot of motherfuckers on your timeline saying, well, you know, Bill Cosby, they ain't doing these white boys like they doing Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby can't even get a show on TV. Man, they got Seventh Heaven on TV, but they didn't took all the Cosby shows off, man. They totally disregarding this black man, and they totally doing this black man wrong and all this other stuff. Man, look at the timing, man. He was about to buy NBC. He had this studio thing going on. He was about to have his Netflix special and all this other stuff, and then all these old bitches start coming out. You hear a lot of that shit. You're going to see it on your timeline. I've already been seeing it on my timeline. A lot of these niggas want the same sort of fucking privilege that these white dudes got. They don't give a fuck about equal rights, man. They don't give a fuck about it at all. What they want is to be on the same fucking level as white dudes, man. That's it. They want to be able to get away with the same shit. They don't give a fuck about equal rights for nothing. For nothing. You seeing the same damn conversations play out, whether the person is white, whether the person is black, who's being accused of some foul shit. All he has to do is have a dick, and they riding with that dude. I've already seen dudes riding on, well, you know, with Donald Trump, man. It's just, you know, Donald Trump came out when he was talking about the whole thing with the hot mic situation with him and Billy Bush. And Donald Trump came out and he said his locker room talk, man. We talk about it. Then you start wondering, like, nigga, how many locker rooms Donald Trump really been in? Like, how often does Donald Trump look like he's the athletic motherfucker that he appears like he thinks he is? Does Donald Trump look like he's really played football or basketball or hockey or anything that requires you really being in the locker room? And then you got a lot of motherfuckers, man. And I'm going to tell you motherfuckers this right now. You got a lot of dudes who will go out of their way and say that, yo, man, you know, that's how dudes talk, man. When dudes get around each other, man, we talk all kind of crazy shit and everything. Nigga, I never have gotten to a conversation with any of my dudes and we sitting around talking about, yo, we raping bitches. We going out here and we taking it. Not once have I had that conversation with any of the cats in my circle. So for all of you dumb motherfuckers who are sitting around talking about that's how dudes talk, and if any dude sit around and tell you he ain't did that, he lying, fuck you, nigga. That's how you get down. Don't try to lump me with your bitch ass. Don't ever try to do it. Don't do it. See, this is what happens, man. A lot of you niggas, y'all are guilty of some of this bullshit that Donald Trump done did, that Bill Cosby done did, that Nate Parker was accused of. A lot of you niggas are really guilty of some of that same shit. So in order for you not to feel so bad about you doing some of this foul shit that people are looking at sideways, you will say, man, everybody does that. Everybody's guilty of that. Man, all of my homies, we do all of that shit, man. All of us do that. No, we don't, dog. No, we don't. That's you and your bitch ass. So you not going to lump me and some of the cats I know in with your bitch ass with that shit. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to allow it. And you can call me a simp. You can call me a Captain Save-Em. I don't give a fuck what you bitch niggas think about that. Not one. Some of you niggas can't even survive in my world, so I know goddamn well I'm not worried about whether or not you think I'm a simp or a Captain Save-Em or whatever. But I am a father. I am a husband. I do have family. And you know what else with this? I'm not even appealing to y'all being a father or being an uncle or being a husband or being any of that. Really? I kind of want you niggas to stop being dickheads all your life. How about that? Don't be a dickhead your entire fucking life. Stop trying to normalize bullshit because it's bullshit that you are guilty of. Take account for your shit, nigga. Be a fucking man and stand on your own fucking 2 feet and stop trying to act like everybody is doing some bullshit because you do it. Be a fucking man. So, yeah, man, I'm seeing the same narrative that's going on with Donald Trump that I saw with Bill Cosby circulate around in the same circles. I'm seeing it. I've already seen the memes. Niggas is already talking about, yo, man, Bill Cosby was railroaded. Bill Cosby, man, you gotta question the timing. As we talk about timing, talk about Nate Parker, right? Because with the whole Nate Parker thing, man, Birth of a Nation came out in the last couple weeks, right? This will be the second weekend that Birth of a Nation has come out or has been available in theaters and whatnot. And so what happens with Birth of a Nation is Birth of a Nation comes out and, you know, we've gone over the whole thing with, you know, Nate Parker and his sexual assault case that he was acquitted of back in 1999. And folks are like, you know, they hitting you over the head with like, yo, man, you know, shit. How many black people you know that's getting acquitted of raping a white woman knows? I'm just saying, man, you got to question the timing of this whole shit, man. We never heard. He was in Red Tails, nigga. We never heard of this shit when Red Tails was coming out. Now we hearing this with Nate, with Nat Turner, nigga. It's some bullshit in the game, son. It's some bullshit in the game. It's like, nigga, shut the fuck up. I'm going to tell you why you get more scrutiny for Nate Parker than you did with Red Tails. One, Red Tails was panned. Nobody thought Red Tails was a good fucking movie. Let's just get that shit out of the way right now. Nobody thought Red Tails was a good movie. But what happens is with great visibility comes more scrutiny, right? Nate Parker was getting a whole lot of buzz for this movie, man. I was excited to see that movie. I swear I was. I was excited to see that movie. And then starts, you know, you start hearing these things that you might not necessarily have been aware of. Now, here's the thing. A lot of you niggas are going out of your way to talk down about black women being upset that Nate Parker has a white wife. And that's one of the reasons why Birth of a Nation didn't do well. A lot of you niggas are talking about the fact that black feminists are the reason that this movie didn't do well, because black feminists are out to sabotage the black man and the black man can't step forward because the black feminists are holding them back and all of this other shit, right? The common thread with all of that is that, like, yo, man, y'all pretty much pointing the fucking finger at black women because this movie didn't do what y'all expected it to do. Black women are taking the brunt of the blame for why this movie isn't doing well. And I got a question for a lot of you niggas, man. Did y'all go see the film? For as much as the shit that y'all giving these sisters about whether or not they saw this movie, did you go do what you were supposed to do as part of your black, you checking your black ticket? You got to make sure that in order for you to be seen as a legit black person, you go watch this film. Now, I've said this over the course of the week, man. Like, it was odd to me to watch so many of you niggas talk about black people who didn't go see this movie. You know why it was odd? Because I remember earlier just this fucking year. I remember this year when niggas were going out of their way to talk about how much they hated seeing all these slave stories, dog. Niggas was tired of all these slave stories. We saw Roland Martin, and I'm going to get to him in a second, but we saw Roland Martin and Snoop Dogg get into it because Snoop Dogg came right out like, yo, man, I'm tired of all these slave movies, cuz. They always beating on us. They always making us seem like we suffering and all this other. We always come out with these slave movies, man. What's up with all this slave shit, man? We were bigger than that. It's more to our story than slavery and all this other shit. And so many niggas co-signed that. So many of you niggas was like laughing at Roland Martin and clowning Roland Martin because Roland Martin was like, yo, man, these stories need to be told. Earlier this year, I remember this shit. Earlier this year, Snoop Dogg was ass-hatted a fucking week on this show because of the shit that he said about the remake of Roots, right? So I know I ain't tripping. So it's odd to me to see you same niggas who were talking about y'all tired of the slave movies, call yourselves black checking other black folks for not seeing The Birth of a Nation and pointing the finger at black women specifically. And it made me think. Hold on.
The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
Y'all went right back into talking shit about sisters. Went right back into it. That was y'all fallback. That was y'all scapegoat. Talking shit about sisters. Niggas. Brothers. Talking shit about sisters. Because they own a principle. Because of their principles, they decided, like, yo, man, like, with this Nate Parker cat, I don't know. I don't think I can support that. I don't think I can support that. And suddenly it's like, yo, to these sisters, they need to throw their principles out of the window. Suddenly their principles don't mean shit because we got to support this brother in this movie, and this movie is so important. The importance of these stories need to be told and all this other shit from the same motherfuckers who were just telling us that they was tired of seeing all these slave movies, yo. The same people. I know. I didn't keep a catalog, but I remember you motherfuckers. I see y'all. I definitely see y'all. Y'all ain't fooling me. So it's just funny to watch you niggas kind of twist yourselves into these little knots. When because earlier this year, it was like, yo, I'm tired of watching all these slave movies. And now you shaming other people for not watching these slave movies. Right? I need you niggas to be consistent, man. I need you niggas to be consistent. Underground has been playing on TV for a year, right? It's been renewed for a second season. It's a show about slaves fighting back and trying to get free. No, it is not the Nat Turner story, but it is a story about slaves fighting back, trying to get free. Niggas were tired of the slave narratives. Roots was reshot, remade. Was remade, man, and done quite fucking well. And tweaked the story a little bit to kind of show some progressiveness. I don't know if I really agree with all of the tweaks of the story, but the story was told pretty well. And niggas were tired of the slave stories. 12 Years a Slave won Oscars a couple years ago. And niggas were mad. Because why did it have to be the slave movie that won the Oscar? Y'all were tired of the slave story. And yet and still, you're going to make sure that you shame other black people for standing on their principle when it comes to sexual assault. When they say, you know what, this movie, I might not want to fuck with. I need you niggas to be consistent. I need you niggas to be consistent with this. And you know how I know y'all weren't consistent? Because one of y'all ashy-ass leaders was saying the same shit. Like, this is why it's funny, man. This is why it's funny. Y'all take y'all fucking marching orders, and then y'all talk about me and fucking narrative. Y'all take y'all marching orders for some of these ashy motherfuckers, and then y'all come back and be like, yo, Spam, man, I know you ain't following the narrative, bruh. Like, come on, man, you gonna let these people talk to you about, you know, like, you know, he was acquitted, man. You know how many black people don't get acquitted, man? Like, he was acquitted. Like, yo, man, on the principle of the shit, especially when you talking to me about the principle. Y'all talking to a motherfucker who would really cut R. Kelly in pieces and put his fucking body in Lake Michigan. When it comes to shit like that. So talking to me about Nate Parker and these principles about whether or not he made the slave narrative or he made this movie about Nat Turner, you talking to a nigga who read about Nat Turner in high school, dog. It's not like I'm devoid of knowing who the fuck Nat Turner is. And that's another thing that's fucked up. Like, y'all assume that people don't know who the hell Nat Turner is. It's a lot of people who know the story of Nat Turner, and they didn't even want to watch this film because they're like, yo, man, he took some liberties that he probably shouldn't have had to. Nat Turner was great without that fucking, that change in his story. You're not schooling me on Nat Turner with a movie, dude. And it's a lot of people you ain't schooling with a movie on Nat Turner. So, yeah, man, like I said, some of y'all take y'all marching orders from some of y'all ashy leaders, right? And one of y'all leaders was one of those folks talking about how mad or how tired he was of the slave stories. Check this out, man. Listen.
People raping your wife and all. No. The European came up with a whole different project where they chopping off people's feet and all that old stuff if you don't work. No. No, that's some European shit right there. So that's how they get you in the first 5 minutes. So when you're watching this stuff, and this is another thing, they show a lot of torture, they show a lot of suffering, which happened. And another narrative that they like to put out is like, okay, look, all you black people complaining about how bad you got it now, look at all these slave movies. Look at how Kunta Kinte got beaten. Look at 12 Years a Slave. Look at all of these slave movies, because we're getting flooded with slave movies. I mean, it's slave back to back. So what they say is basically, look, you ain't got it too bad now. Look at how bad you used to have it. See, they show all the terror and the horror of slavery and then say, okay, now look, you got Obama now.
Right? Tired of the slave narrative. Slave. This same nigga who a lot of y'all follow pretty fucking closely had this to say about Birth of a Nation.
Great film. Birth of a Nation was a great film. Let's get into that. Birth of a Nation was a great film. A lot of folks went to see it this weekend. The box office numbers came out and they said it only made $7 million. And now all the Hollywood trade publications are saying that the movie was a flop. First of all, I don't believe that that film only made $7 million. I know too many folks went out to see that damn movie. I do not believe that movie only made $7 million. One thing I know is that there's a lot of people, shout out my man Henry James, a lot of people were getting the wrong tickets. I said that was going to happen. I got my tickets online, so I just showed them the little thing on my phone when I got to the theater. But a few people said that they got tickets to another movie when they went to see Birth of a Nation. My man Henry said that happened to him. I think Lil Duval said that happened to him, the comedian. I think somebody said Carrie Hilson said it happened to her. I think. So there's a few people who said that they got the wrong tickets. But let me say this. With the Birth of a Nation, I have never seen a movie that was deliberately sabotaged by the Hollywood industry publications. Like,
all right. So we done went from slave movie to now this movie is being sabotaged by the industry. People are being sold the wrong ticket when they go to see Birth of a Nation. I don't believe that Birth of a Nation only made $7 million over the course of its run, right? Especially when it came to the last weekend's box office opening, right? So you notice how that shit switches? You notice how that shit switches? And at the end of the day, we blame his sisters for it. There's so many niggas blaming sisters for it. Roland Martin got on News One Now this week. And he talked about the importance of this movie. And the only caveat I can give to Roland Martin is at least Roland Martin is consistent. Roland Martin has been consistent in the want of all of these stories being told. Roland Martin has been going at it with the likes of a Snoop Dogg, with the likes of a Tariq Nasheed, when he talks about how important these stories need to be told, right? And that's the only thing that I can give Roland Martin credit for when it comes to this. But at the end of the day, when you start talking about black women being upset that Nate Parker has a white wife, which is why they didn't support Birth of a Nation, or that black women or black feminists specifically were the reason that this film didn't do as well as the box office because we expected it to do more. Like, at what point is it like, yo, how come brothers didn't exactly step the fuck up and go see this film in the way in which they feel is so important? If it only made $7 million and you looking at $7 million as a flop, how many of you brothers who were so adamant that people go see this film actually took y'all asses to the theater? Right? Why is it incumbent upon these sisters who may have been sexually assaulted, unfortunately, by a nigga who looked just like them, by a brother who looks just like them? Why is it incumbent upon them to put their shit to the side in order to support you in this fucking movie that y'all said y'all was tired of seeing? These slave movies that y'all said y'all were tired of seeing. Why is it incumbent upon these sisters to do that? Why should people have to put their principles to the side to support you? Why should anybody do that? Especially when you don't necessarily seem as though you give really a fuck about how they feel about it. I mean, at the end of the day, the person who's most responsible for the reception that his movie may have gotten from a lot of sisters is Nate Parker himself. Nobody else. Nobody else. Nate Parker did all of those interviews. Nate Parker was the unrepentant one. Nate Parker was the one who was like, yo, Oprah, let me give you some help. Shout out to Oprah, Tennessee State University alumni. Shout out to Oprah. TSU homecoming this weekend. Shout out to Oprah. Right? Oprah Winfrey decided to, like, yo, maybe I can give you a little help with this. And Nate Parker, like, nah, I got it. Oprah was like, all right, fuck it. You turn away one of the more influential people in media who's deciding who they want to help you. And you say, nah, fuck that. Nate Parker is responsible for the reception that his film has gotten. Nobody else. Nobody is obligated to go watch a Nate Parker film. Nobody. Nobody. And it's weird to watch so many dudes go out of their way to point their fingers at the women in their lives who say, you know what, man, I've been a victim of sexual assault, or I know someone who's been a victim of sexual assault. This guy does not necessarily seem repentant about what he did and what it may represent and how it may trigger something in me. And not only that, there's rape scenes in this movie that didn't necessarily happen to trigger the revolt that Nat Turner actually performed, that he somehow shoehorned a rape into the movie to justify this. Kind of puts people off, man. Kind of, you know, makes your shit a bit iffy. These artistic liberties that you're taking with the Nat Turner story don't really jibe. And it's putting people off. Putting people off. So no, man. No. I did not go see The Birth of a Nation. I wanted to see this film earlier in this year, man. I was so fucking excited to see this film, only for Nate Parker to get in his own way. And the way my principles are set up, I can't support that. If you've listened to my show for any length of time, you would know that I can't support that. I'm not just going to co-sign on somebody just because he's black. I can't do that. I'm not made up like that. If he on some bullshit, I can't just co-sign his shit because he black. I said that years ago. Years ago when I was doing YouTube videos. That shit still stands. So, yeah, man. It was weird. It was certainly weird watching so many dudes go out of their way to blame these sisters, man. Real talk. But, yeah. That's it with that. Real talk. I have to take a slight break. And when I return, man, we have our champ of the week, and we have our asshat of the week. And hold on a second. Where's my music? Because I can't leave you guys with nothing to listen to. So I'm going to try to find something smooth for y'all. Hold on. Before I take this break, let me find something smooth. And there we go. Check this out as we take this break.
Remember me. Second show.
With a superstar, Luther Vandross tribute and whatnot, man. But yeah, man, yeah, I had to take a little bit of a break. But it is time for our segments, man. We got our ass hat of the week and we got our champ of the week. So, without further ado, let's get into our ass hat of the week. Hold on. Let's try that again, man. Too much shit going on.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right, man. And of course, he's been an ass hat a few times before. He's actually in the ass hat Hall of Fame. We have no one other than Sheriff David Clark, right? Now, Sheriff David Clark has been an ass hat repeatedly. He is a habitual offender of the ass hatdom. And the reason that Sheriff David Clark is an asshat this week is, if you guys remember, David Clark was one of those people who went against the Black Lives Matter movement. He said the Black Lives Matter was a subhuman species, that they were anarchists, that they should be put down, all sorts of things, man. So he said, like, basically he wanted to, he actually advocated for the police to take out Black Lives Matter demonstrators, right? And so David Clark has spoken for the Republican, and he's spoken in front of the Republican National Committee. He's spoken in front of at the Republican convention this past, August or September sometime? He spoke at the convention in favor of Donald Trump. Now, as you guys know, Donald Trump has, since his campaign has been kind of spiraling out of control with the sexual allegations, the sexual assault allegations that have been going on against him, a lot of folks are kind of turning their back on him. The GOP is kind of turning their back on him. And so he still has some diehards, and Sheriff David Clark is one of them. And David Clark went out of his way to say that it's incredible that our institutions of government, White House, Congress, and DOJ, and the big media are corrupt, and all we do is bitch, pitchforks, and torches time. David Clark is advocating for people to take to the streets in riotous form to advocate for conservative values. This from the same person who was upset at Black Lives Matter demonstrators for demonstrating against police violence against people of color. David Clark is one of those special kind of people where, like, again, I very seldom use the coon term. And I don't like necessarily trying to take someone's blackness away from them because they don't necessarily agree with the status quo of blackness, so to speak. But David Clark is a special motherfucker. And David Clark, because of his advocacy for taking to the streets in order to preserve conservative values, while also saying that Black Lives Matter members and Black Lives Matter demonstrators are subhuman for doing the exact same thing, David Clark is an asshat here at the Spare Report Podcast.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But, of course, we do have a champ.
The champ is here! 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 The champ is here!
All right, man. Today, our champ of the week is someone you probably never heard of. These brothers definitely do need to have a light shine on them. But it is the barbers at the Fuller Cuts Barber Shop, man. Real talk. Now, there's a story out of Ypsilanti, Michigan, which is not too far from Detroit. And these brothers have gone out of their way to promote literacy while... they've gone out of their way to promote literacy while also giving some little young brothers some sharp cuts, man. So I'm going to play this story for you guys, and you can understand why I decided to name these dudes the Spare Report Champ of the Week. Hold on a second. Let me pull this up so you guys can see it for yourselves. Hold on. Here they go. Yeah, it's probably a commercial that's going to play.
It's here.
And because they didn't pay for this, no audio. All right.
At this Ypsilanti barbershop.
Yeah, what these barbers are making the boys do while the Clippers are going is creating quite a buzz, like the Clippers themselves.
Indeed. Javon Terry checked out how a fresh cut is bridging the literacy gap.
Here at Fuller Cuts Barbershop, there's something that you will find in the lobby. Several books, and these are books for young children. These barbers are bonding with their youngest customers and promoting literacy in the process.
Hey, William, you can come on, buddy.
6-year-old William jumps into the barber chair.
Where's your book at, buddy?
I was 5.
Barber Ryan Griffin understands his responsibility goes beyond just a fresh cut.
Knowing that it's cool to pick up a book.
And books are plentiful around this barbershop.
Dinaje,
Is this the best barbershop I've ever been to?
You see, these barbers are promoting literacy by making every boy 14 and younger grab a book.
All kids.
All kinds.
All kinds.
And yes, read out loud.
Goodies.
In exchange, they get $2 or $2 discount.
When Ryan approached me with this idea, how could you say no?
Alex Fuller did more than grab his clippers. He jumped on board collecting paper and hardbacks to build confidence in his youngest clients.
We're trying to build strong men. That's what we're trying to do.
Many of the books center around black characters or black history.
Different kids read at different levels.
Ryan recalls a time a child who struggled to read still grabbed a book.
Kid couldn't read, so the kid just counted cupcakes for me. But what that kid did was put a book in his hand. That's the important part, kid putting a book in his hand. And the reason that the kid picked the book up is because there were other kids here reading.
Build up young men to be inspired, to being great men. And through reading, there's no stopping them.
And while the barbershop experience is all about the guys, girls, if you come to this barbershop, don't worry, they have books catering to you as well. And you will also get $2. They're working it out for everyone. Reporting in Ypsilanti, Jermont Terry, Local 4.
What a confidence booster when you read out loud. And
Okay, we need to minimize this. Okay, there we go. But yeah, man, shout out to the brothers at Fuller Cuts Barbershop, man, for not only promoting literacy, but like, at the end of the day, man, inspiring confidence in all of those young men who get in those chairs and not only get their hair cut, but inspire them to pick up books on a more regular basis, man. So I salute them here at the Spare Report, and I hope you guys are saluting them as well, man, real talk. But yeah, man, it's time for me to get out of here. But before I go, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also hit me up at the email at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read those emails. And, of course, we'll do that here on the Spare Report as well, man. We'll read those and we'll respond to them here as well. Also, chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me on both of those platforms. Like the Mr. Span fan page, man. Go there. Like the Mr. Span fan page. You can watch these shows live as I do them, right? So you can be a part of the chat room, man. You can interact with me here on the show as I do the show, man. Go ahead and like that Mr. Span fan page. Get those notifications when I go live, when the Spare Report goes live, right? And for all of your Spare Report needs, man, go to www.thesparereport.com. Like the show. Watch the show. Donate to the show. Vote in the polls. Everything, man, everything is available at thesparereport.com, man, real talk. And as a reminder for all of you guys who really want to get your Spare Report swag on, man, go ahead and cop yourself some official Spare Report podcast apparel, man. They're at Teespring. I think we got 2 more days left on this campaign, but I do plan on opening up a storefront on Teespring. But for right now, hurry up and go to www.teespring.com/official-span-report. Put your order in, get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a long sleeve tee, get yourself a hoodie, and rock out with your Spare Report swag, man, real talk. And I appreciate every last one of you guys who goes about the actions of doing that, man, real talk. It's very much appreciated, and it helps spread the word about the show. And if you're rocking with the Spare Report, man, what better way to let people know than to rock it on your body, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, that's what we doing, man. But that's it, man. That has been the show this Sunday, October 16th. So until next time, fam, I'll talk to you later. Peace.